In March of this year, on a remote island near Antarctic Ocean, and not far from the North Pole, the Norwegian government opened a vast underground crypt more than 425 feet deep inside a frozen mountain, declaring it ready to receive shipments of seeds from around the world. This is a global seed vault, a deep cold storage cavern with room to hold some 4.5 million distinct seed samples. This seed collection will be ultimately be the backup in case we humans do something stupid. In case we humans do something stupid, like have a worldwide nuclear war, cause mass climate change that wipe out vegetation, or fail to manage agriculture carefully. It's also a hedge against natural catastrophe such as asteroid strike. It's dubbed the Doomsday Vault. This seed bank will eventually be will collect all the seeds for almost every variety of food crop known to mankind. The low temperature in the vault, caused by natural permafrost and supplemented by a refrigeration system, can preserve the seed and keep them viable for thousands of years, even if global warming rises the outside temperature. You got to be concerned about that, global warming. The vault project grew out of a trust funded by the United Nations in 2004 to support long-term conservation of crop diversity, with countries and foundations to provide the funding. As its contribution, Norway provided the location for the vault and paid $9.4 million for its construction. $9.4 million. I think the church, or the Church of God, is not a doomsday church. Not at all. And it's something that we, there's a lot of hope that we have as a church that I'd like to talk about today. You ever heard people talk about the end of the world? You know, I was surprised at people that literally believe that the world's going to end. And of course, we understand that from Scripture, it's the end of human government as we know it, that a new government is going to be ushered in when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom. But I've met a lot of people that believe it's just going to end, the end of the world. And there's a lot of movies out there. You've watched some of the movies. I watched, I think it was Armageddon? No, I really enjoyed that movie. It was a bunch of misfits were going to try to save the world, and they land on an asteroid and destroy it. But it was pretty good. It was funny and sad and a mixture of all kinds of emotions. you know, you're laughing, you're crying, you're doing all that stuff. But you know, when you think of doomsday, there's things that, like, suppose something like that hit the world, an asteroid hit, and what would that do? What would that cause? And then, there, of course, as far as doomsday, there's just natural weather patterns that could destroy and bring about horrible, you know, terrible things. And of course, war, a nuclear attack would be a terrible thing. And then chemical and biological warfare, that again would be a very ugly thing, if you could imagine that. All kinds of things that could cause what we would refer to as doomsday. But the fall of morality is probably the greatest doomsday weapon that exists. The fall of morality. Of all the things that could cause us to go down the tubes, it's probably that. And it's sort of an inward cancer inside. I know, I was talking to Angela about, we were talking about, you know, our economy, how unstable it is. And she was saying, you know, if it collapsed tomorrow, you know, you would really have to, you know, you'd have to probably set up a 24-hour watch with your guns strapped across you and protect people, or protect yourself from taking your stuff or what they thought you had and killing you. I mean, you would have to, that's how you'd have to survive. If the economy just simply collapsed. But is our faith in a seed vault on the North Pole? Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. Jesus said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. You know, that sounds tough. I mean, that sounds bad. That sounds like doomsday. Unless I return, there's nothing going to survive unless I cut it short, unless I stop the madness. So it's like we're destined. You know, mankind is destined to head toward this doomsday. And yet, Christ said, and it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And that word glad tidings means good news of the kingdom. Good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. So you, on one side, you've got this doomsday report. And then you've got Christ saying, look, the message of the government of God, the kingdom of God, is good news. It's great news. Great news. I want to talk about today God's seed bank. God's seed bank. He has one also. God's seed bank began with one man, one promise to one man. And I want to begin by looking at this. I'll be looking at it right in the scripture today, but I guess that's okay. In Genesis 26 and verse 4, we're talking about God's seed vault or seed bank. Genesis 26 and verse 4, God says to Abraham, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and give unto thy seed all these countries. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Skip on down to Genesis 28 and verse 14. Again, God speaking to Abraham, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and east and north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Wow. What do you suppose Abraham thought about that? Can you imagine being told that? You know, he probably thought, well, am I going to live long enough for all this to happen? For all nations of the earth to be blessed because of me? Regardless of what you might think about, you know, biblical prophecy or what happened to the 12 tribes of Israel, who are they, where are they, you know, who is America? You know, physical blessings have been passed down to us because of this promise, passed down to America because of this promise. But the question is, have all families of the earth been blessed? Some have, but not all. Not all. I mean, there's countries that are in terrible condition, and they haven't been blessed yet, but they're going to be blessed. They're going to be blessed. So when did Abraham think they would ultimately be blessed and all nations of the earth be blessed? Well, let's look at Hebrews 11 and verse 13. Tells us something else about Abraham and the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 and verse 13. So these all died in faith, not having received the promise. Notice that. They didn't receive the promise. What promise? Well, the promise of the government of God, the kingdom of God on this earth, the promise that all nations of the earth would be blessed. But having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. You know, we must do the same thing. That this physical existence, this earth, it's not what it's all about. We look to a kingdom to come, a government to come. And they said, we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Skip on down to verse 39. And these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. A better timing, a time, something beyond this physical life. Abraham, I think, began to realize that God was actually building and storing up a seed bank, let's say, a seed vault, that would one day be used in a mighty way to bless all nations. Now, what do you suppose God's seed vault looks like? Well, we just saw a picture of the one in Norway. It's sort of strange looking, that one. Let's take a look at God's seed bank. Are you ready? Here we go. Oh, there it is. I took this one in Appomattox Courthouse. Unknown soldier. Of course, God knew the soldier. Oh, I've always been moved by, you know, the unknown soldier. This is God's seed bank. Of course, this was a whole collection of unknown soldiers at Appomattox Courthouse. I don't know where this one's at. And I'm not saying that every cross there, every grave represents that the person had the seed of God, God's Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that. But God knows who did, who went to that grave, to that seed bank or seed vault or whatever, and God knows who has the Holy Spirit and who will come up in the first resurrection. I've always been touched by that. You know, I go to a cemetery and I look at it and I think, you know, which one of these will come up in that first resurrection? I love a cemetery. I mean, a lot of people think they're scary. I think it's the most beautiful, peaceful place you can ever go to. This is a blurred picture, but this is not actually where I've been, but you can see in the background, these are just, they're not even marked, they're just marked with a rock. And I've been to a place out Turkeycock Mountain where, in fact, one place, it had a tombstone. It said, in hope of the resurrection. I thought, man, that's a good one. In hope of the resurrection. This is Normandy. But that's basically what God's seed bank looks like, seed vault. Now, having said that, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35, the resurrection chapter, where Paul asked this question, and I love this response. He says, but 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? What's Paul's response here? You fool. You idiot. Okay. That which you sow is not quickened except it die. Now again, the concept of the seed, sowing a seed in the ground. You know, if you look up that one word, seed, there's a story flow from Genesis to Revelation just in that one word. The seed of God. You know, it's a powerful story flow. And that which you sow of not the body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. In other words, when you put a kernel of corn in the ground, you don't just get this big 40-pound, you know, 60 days later, a big kernel of corn. You know, you get something totally different. Looks totally different. You get, you know, corn stalk or whatever. But God gives it a body as it has pleased him. To every seed, his own body. God's going to give it a new body. To every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, and another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, that's what we got right now. The natural body is sown into the ground, laid down in the grave. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Notice it doesn't say an immortal soul, it just says a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. The natural body comes first, and afterward that which is spiritual. The spiritual body comes second. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. What does that mean, to bear the image of the heavenly? Well, it means exactly what it says. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's impossible to do that. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal, what we are now, mortal, must put on immortality at the trump, at the Christ's return. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then, and only then, shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, did Abraham understand the need for the resurrection? I think he did. I think he understood that in order for all nations of the earth to be blessed, there's going to have to come a resurrection from the dead. Except those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved alive. Preventing doomsday. God's seed vault. You ever thought about it like that? How do you view yourself? Who do you think you are? Are you just another uninteresting person caught up in the world of confusion, you know, political confusion? I saw a bumper sticker just a few days ago. It said if voting made any difference, it would be outlawed. And I thought, well, that's a good one. You know, somewhere way out in the future, someone's going to walk up to you and say, thank you for preventing doomsday. Of course, you'll have to say, well, don't thank me, thank the master who had the seed vault. You know, he had the plan. You know, I was just part of that seed vault. Now, I want to look at a little bit further, go a little bit deeper into this concept of the seed vault and the seed of God. 1 John 3 and verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. I guess that's something that, you know, you look, you know, as a child of God, born into the family of God, it will, you know, it won't be possible to sin anymore once your body is changed. But notice what it says here. It says, for his seed remains in him. What is this idea of a seed remaining in you? Where did the seed come from? Well, that's the being begotten by the Holy Spirit. It is that seed is something that you receive at baptism. And it says that seed remains in you. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. You know, the only thing, in other words, it's talking about the process of conversion that we go through right now, which is a critical issue. You know, the only thing that you're given at the resurrection is a new body. You're given a new body, a spiritual body. Whatever that is, that seed has to develop the character now, the seed of the Holy Spirit you've been given. That process takes place right now. So all we get at the resurrection is just a new body, which is going to be nice, by the way. Traveling at the speed of thought. You know, I would love to go to Hawaii right now, just thinking about it. I mean, I don't want to go to Hawaii. You know, just be there. And of course, I'd like to have my own planet, by the way. Yeah. Just my planet, you know. Dave's planet. Now, let's take a look at this seed. Receiving the seed. There it is. I took this picture at the feast last year. We went on a canoeing trip with the feast at CEM. I'm not sure why I brought that expensive camera in the canoe, by the way, but it's and I'm going down this river, and I hear in the distance someone singing, "We'll gather at the river." I thought, man, this is something. And it wasn't our church, by the way. And here were a whole pile of people standing on the bank, and all kinds of people are out in the water being baptized. And I started, you know, clicking these pictures real fast, and that's the one, you know, the person coming out of the water, rushing off of it. And I thought, man, that's powerful. Receiving the seed. And you think about it. You know, here, God's seed vault, and what an act of, I guess, humility that is. I mean, because you're saying, you know, God, I am, you know, I'm a sinner. You're confessing that. That's what baptism is all about. It's saying, look, I am a sinner. I'm here to tell you I'm a sinner, and the whole world can watch it if they want to. That's what I'm confessing to. And I was the one that killed Christ, my sins. But that's a powerful picture, I think, receiving the seed, that moment that this happened. Now, obviously, there's a danger that I would have to tell you about, or it wouldn't be fair, the danger. Question is, who else knows about God's seed bank? Well, we know who has a good idea about his seed bank that's being prepared. That will prevent doomsday. Who else knows about that? Well, the devil knows about it. Let's look at Revelation 12 and verse 17. Revelation 12 and verse 17. I think the devil has figured out the seed bank, God's seed bank or vault. It says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have, notice two things, keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. War. And you know it's true. You know it's true. And there's a lot at stake here. Now, how great is God? How great is God? I want to close with one more scripture here. Isaiah 51 and verse 16. Let's look at this one in closing. Isaiah 51 and verse 16. Scripture, first time I heard it used, about fell out of my chair because I thought, boy, that's sort of powerful there. And I have put my words in your mouth, and I covered thee in the shadow of my hands, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, you are my people, that I may plant the heavens. What do you mean, plant the heavens? Now, I can understand the earth project here, but who's going to plant the heavens? What heavens? Well, Venus, Mars, Jupiter. I went at when we went out to Oklahoma, we went to this planetarium where they talked about there may be millions of other solar systems just like ours out there. What's that all about? Well, it's about planning the heavens. And, you know, God is in the planning business. I mean, all through the Bible, you read about the harvest. You read, just again, I mean, it's just shot through with this concept of planting and harvesting and the first fruits, Pentecost, the spring harvest, the summer fruits, the fall harvest, the last great day. And Jesus, again and again, he taught and taught and taught. The sower went out to sow seeds, just again and again and again. Now, it's just my opinion, but I'm going to be very surprised when I'm resurrected that if this is the first time God has done this. It's going to shock me if I find out Earth Project was the only time, first time. Because I got a feeling, could be wrong, just in my opinion, so don't, you know. But as I look out across the universe to other galaxies, I think I'm going to find out that heavens have already been, some planting's been going on. Planting has been going on for quite a long time. You know, because, you know, God is, now this Earth Project, I understand 6,000, I understand all that, but I have a hard time understanding God for millions of years sort of twiddling his thumb and 10 billion years goes by and he says, "Well, I think I'll do an Earth Project." I have a hard time with that. But anyway, who knows? Who knows? But it will surprise me if it is the first time he's ever done it. The scripture says, and Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. Except the Lord had left us a seed. You know, mankind left him to himself, there's not a lot of hope. What do we end up like? Well, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, that's what happens. Without God's seed vault, without the seed of the Holy Spirit. You know, we are not a doomsday church of God. Jesus came preaching and teaching the good news about the kingdom of God. God is going to plant the heavens with his children.